This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Turns out there is more than one mall cop, Donnie. It's not just Paul Blart. There's a show called Mall Cops of America, and one of the mall cops was a dog called Sully, and he's famous. And there's also some other guys on there who are famous from this show, Mall Cops of America. I know you and I on the last Donnie Football Friday, along with Limits, were thinking it was Paul Blart and nobody else.
So you're telling me it's a dog or just one dog? And then a bunch of guys.
It's a dog named Sully, and then a bunch of guys who are mall cops. Have you seen the show Mall Cops of America?
What channel?
I don't know. Do you know, Sean?
No, I'm not in.
Okay, it's right. It's from the mall in Minneapolis. You ever been there, the Mall of America?
I actually haven't. I've been to Minnesota before, but I never got to go to the Mall of America. I wonder if that was like the alternative, since they had to cancel the show Cops, if they went to just Mall Cops of America.
They might have. Yeah, they might have. I just wanted to point that out before I forgot. Are you sitting in a high chair? Why are you so high on the screen there?
I don't know. I'm just sitting in like Sarah's little office chair.
Okay. Because the top of your head is clipped off the screen. It looks like you're in some sort of throne or... perhaps an adult.
I think it's just the way I'm angling my phone.
Okay. Or perhaps an adult height chair. What does your shirt say?
Greensburg Salem football, baby.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Also, to tie up a loose end here, you defeated our friend intern Dom yesterday in a Thanksgiving food draft. He got the first pick. And one of the categories was meats, right? Meat, vegetable, side dish, and dessert were the four categories.
Meat, two sides, and then a dessert.
And a dessert. You gave him the first pick. He took turkey, which is like getting Michael Jordan with the first pick. I mean, you have to do a lot to ruin that team. And he did. He wound up taking pumpkin. What was the thing he took?
Pumpkin rolls.
Yeah, pumpkin roll. Pumpkin pie roll or some crap like that as his dessert. What is he doing?
And you said he took corn as one of his sides.
Yeah, corn, just plain corn as a side. And he winds up losing to you in the late innings. That was really something to officiate.
I had a little feeling that he was going to screw that up. So that's why I gave him the first pick.
Yeah, pumpkin roll. That's what it was. Now, I came in today. I asked Seth because I saw intern Dom at the beginning of the day. And he was awfully salty with me. He said, I can't believe you did that yesterday. You gave Donnie Football the win over me. I had turkey. I won. plus people have pumpkin roll. I said to Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, in front of Dom. I said, answer me a question honestly. When you think Thanksgiving desserts, is pumpkin roll a staple? And what did you say, Sean?
Negative.
Negative. Donnie, he blew the draft late.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think he panicked because I went with back-to-back sides. I know you're not a green bean casserole guy, but I knocked out stuffing and green bean casserole because I knew he already took the main meat, and I basically had to bank on him screwing up, and he did.
Yeah, it's like NFL coaching. Just wait for the other guy to screw up at the end, like Matt Eberflus. What did you think of that, Donnie?
Oh, my goodness. I was thrilled with how good that game ended up being because I was – when I brought it up yesterday, I thought this would easily be the best game of the day, and it was. I thought Williams was great in the second half, by the way.
Yeah,
but
he was.
The end of that game was legitimately – all Tomlin jokes aside, people can say whatever they want. That was some of the worst clock management I have ever seen in the sport of football, not even at the NFL level. High school, college, peewee football, whatever level you want to put in there, that was some of the worst clock management I've seen in my life.
Are you able to hear clips if we play them, Donnie?
I assume so, yeah. I can hear pretty much everything else.
Well, Jimmy Johnson agree with you. Play for him the beginning of the Jimmy Johnson thing in a second here, Sean. I mean, our topic to start the show, obviously I wanted Steelers-Bengals, but I've been watching football for 50 years, and that was the worst end game coaching I've ever seen, aside from maybe Pete Carroll, obviously, in the Super Bowl, and what's his name? John McVay from the Giants at the end of the Miracle in the Meadowlands when he didn't just kneel on the ball. Instead, they handed it to Larry Zonka, and Herman Edwards picked it up. In terms of time management, this was the worst coaching decision, I think, in the history of football, and one of the worst in the history of sports. And for people who thought I might be overdoing it, this was Jimmy Johnson after the game, Donnie.
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game.
Wow. 70 years. And then here's why I think Eberflus actually got fired. Like, I'm not sure he would that they wouldn't have waited till the end of the year if he just comes out at the news conference and says, yeah, I mean, the whole country just saw, 40 million people just saw me not call timeout when I had a timeout and the game end. So here's Eberflus instead. This is what he said after the game.
Yeah, I like what we did there.
Donnie! What happened? What happened there? Why would he say that?
I have no idea. Like, I laughed as hard at that as I did at the actual end of the game. Like, we were at Sarah's mom's house yesterday helping her get ready, and I think I scared both of them into thinking, like, something serious actually happened, because I'm watching the end of that game while they're, you know, getting food ready, or, you know, Sarah's putting together, like, a meat and cheese board, and I said, oh, my God, this is a disaster, and they both, like, looked up and gasped. Like something actually serious happened. And I said, no, the Bears just had a golden opportunity to at worst tie the game, and they just didn't use a timeout.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, like, we see stupid things happen in sports sometimes. And sometimes the moment is, like, too big for either the coach or the player. And that was one that topped a lot of boards there. Like, given that, You're under the microscope of a national audience. You're in a standalone game. That's going to be, if it's not number one, it's going to be one of the highest viewed games all season. Everybody saw that. Everybody saw how he handled it.
Right.
He just said, yeah, I like what we did.
40 million people, I think, something like that. And then it led into the worst decisions in coaching decisions in sports history. I mean, Donnie, it's one thing to, like, call a play that doesn't work, like Pete Carroll. Now, granted, that was the Super Bowl. It's another thing to not take Bill Buckner out of the game, even though you took him out of games most of the year if you're John McNamara and the famous Bill Buckner play in 86. I don't know if you were aware of morning wigs. This is what they called it on ESPN. Remember the old Page 2? They had a list of this. And number three on all-time coaching list blunders was Morning Wigs Boner. Unfortunately titled for sure there. Correct, Donnie?
What was that? What was that from?
Hold on.
You got to be careful if you Google that one.
I wouldn't do that on the work computer.
No, this was a sudden death overtime. And Morningwig, coaching the Lions, said, let's give the Bears the ball. So the Bears were on the other side of this one, and they went down and they won the game.
Okay, I'm familiar with this one now.
So that was number three. And then the miracle at the Meadowlands. This might be the top five worst coaching decisions management situations ever in the history of football. You just heard Jimmy Johnson, one of the great coaches ever, say he's never seen it in 70 years of coaching at every level. I couldn't. My wife was watching it too. Neither one of us could believe what was happening. I thought they made a mistake.
They didn't have any timeouts left. I would also love to hear, which, you know, I mean, we never will. We do get a lot of access to NFL teams and NFL games. I would love to hear the audio going on through the coaching headsets when all of that is happening. Like, there had to be somebody screaming to take a timeout there.
Had to be. I would hope. I mean, this makes
more. I also kind of wondered, like, I know it's normally not the players that jump and do it first, but, and I know Caleb Williams is a rookie. I was surprised there wasn't a player that was like, hey, we should probably take a TO here. Like, he just took a sack and we got to give ourselves a chance.
At the very worst, you call timeout right before the snap and you just try the field goal. It was still in the 58, 59 yard range. I mean, this makes Morning Wigs Boner look like nothing at all, really. And Tomlin did the same thing when he kicked to Lamar Jackson that one year in overtime. And I know it worked out sort of because the Steelers stopped him, got the ball, Juju fumbled. I thought that was insane. I thought it was insane to give Lamar Jackson first crack in overtime. I don't care how good the Steelers, even back then, there were already signs that they were controlling Lamar pretty good. I thought that was crazy.
I actually forgot about that until you brought it up because I knew that they didn't score on that first drive. That was the Duck Hodges game, too.
Yes.
Hodges came into the game.
Carts and things of that nature that Tomlin said. Brian, the Batconian mongoose, asked Tomlin about that. But we have to move on, Donnie, very quickly here. Your vision for this game, what kind of game is this going to be, and do the Steelers win?
I actually do think the Steelers find some way to pull this off, and I think it's more for me that nobody thinks they will. Like, it seems like after what happened in Cleveland, we got so many people who wanted to jump all over it and say, I don't think they'll win another game, or maybe they win one when they play the Browns again. But we know how Mike Tomlin tends to coach and how his teams tend to play when they're the ones that are viewed as the team with no shot to win. Now, yeah, sometimes they do lose those games, and sometimes it's not pretty, but there's also cases where they go into road venues. They're a somewhat small road underdog, and they pull it off, and it looks like what happened a week plus before that is all gone. Obviously, they have to keep up with Joe Burrow. That's going to be the huge thing. But I was amazed yesterday. I was going through some of the games that Burrow has had this season.
Yeah.
The man is having an MVP season, and his team is 4-7. I think it's a pretty great example of, or another great example of why the win-loss stat is not one that should be singular to quarterbacks. It's almost as irrelevant as when you see some, you know, pitcher win and loss numbers in baseball.
Yeah.
He has had some insane games and they still find a way to lose. That defense, and I know what you're worried about is, well, the Ravens had a bad defense and they couldn't score and they couldn't come alive against Cleveland until their backs were really against the wall and the defense made a big play. So that's obviously a holdup if people don't think the Steelers will win this game because of how bad their offense has been out of the gate, at least, and they could fall behind early. But that Bengals defense, they have been spotted 30-plus points so many times by Joe Burrow. He has had games where he's had 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, and they still find a way to lose.
Yes.
Like, it's the opposite of a great team when you say, well, by hook or by crook, they'll find a way to win. The Bengals are like the opposite. Joe Burrow gives them a Herculean effort every single week. Ja'Marr Chase puts up massive numbers, and they still find a way to lose.
Do you still want to see Justin Fields on the field at all in these games, Donnie?
I would cut it down from what they tried to do in Cleveland, because it felt forced in Cleveland. And they also just have to have better communication when they do this stuff with the quarterbacks and with the offense. Because we heard how Russell Wilson last week said after the game, like, yeah, neither of us really had a clue when he was coming in. And you have to have that communication down so things go more smoothly this time around. I do think there are still opportunities to get that guy in the game, for sure. You get maybe like a second and goal from the 3-yard line. Maybe it's second and 2 and you're in the red zone, something like that. But I feel like last week, and maybe you feel the same way, it felt more random to me. Like, they were just saying, we got to get Justin in the game to keep him engaged. And then they would either make a mental mistake before the snap, or the play would just be so off kilter with him thrown in there. So I still think a few snaps a game would be good, but I would cut it down and figure out a better way to make it more smooth all around by getting him in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, my main problem last week was having him instead of your starting quarterback throw the ball late. So let's have a prediction and a score, Donnie. I was going to say Johnny. That's my brother's name, and I apologize.
I do think the Steelers will find a way to break through and put up points. I'm going to say that they win this game 30-27. I think they hit the 30-point barometer against this Bengals defense, because I also feel like they know how important this game is on Sunday. They don't want to start a little bit of a skid in a point in the schedule that they know does not get any easier, and there are going to be teams in the AFC creeping up. I mean, they're only a half game up in the AFC North, and we know how good Lamar is against NFC teams. They're playing the Eagles on Sunday, but I wouldn't just chalk that up as a Ravens loss by any means. So there's a real chance that, A, they're no longer the AFC North leader if things don't go their way on Sunday, and B, they're going to also help keep in another team in the AFC that I think would be very dangerous come playoff time, that being the Bengals, if they win that game. They could deliver a true knockout punch to Cincinnati's playoff hopes, and maybe I'm just afraid of Joe Burrow, but given the way we've seen that guy play in the postseason, I want no part of him. I don't care what that record is for Cincinnati. If they get in, I do not want to see Joe Burrow.
All right, Donnie, we'll wind up with this. We have your prediction. I need Urine Limits predictions for the next segment, as I think Limits is cheating, by the way, don't you? How did he get to 500 on the picks? I think he got...
I know he brought up that stupid boxing match, and we should have been smarter there, Joe, when we picked that one, because we both just so happily wanted to see Mike Tyson.
I know.
Not look like he was nearly 60 years old, but we should have been smarter there.
That was worth 3 points. That pick was worth 3 points. That's why he's beating us.
Yeah, and otherwise, like, I don't know. I mean, I must be falling behind on the college games or something, because I feel like I'm not that bad on the NFL picks.
I know. It's been horrible. I'll leave you with this, Donnie. Arthur Smith yesterday addressed this North Carolina situation where they've contacted him. I don't know. People have mixed feelings. Ray Fittipaldo believed that he shut it down. I think he left it wide open. He never said not interested. That's all he had to say. Flattered? Not interested. Instead, he went into a minute-long soliloquy on how that's not his focus right now. So question A, do you think there's any smoke there? Question B, what grade would you give Artie so far with the Steelers?
I guess there's a little bit of smoke there. I don't think it's time for, if you like Artie Smith, I would say I don't think it's time for you to panic like he's going to just bolt for a college head coaching job, because I'm sure that even though he doesn't want to completely turn down that idea right now, since they're in the midst of their season, he will probably have to at least consider the pros and cons there, I would think. But given how muddy things get with college football, I would honestly want no part of it. I would much rather be in the pro game and be and a coordinator of some sort than be in the college game. And I would give him a B so far for the season. I know that might sound generous because he's coming off what was his worst game in Cleveland. But before that, I thought he was doing a pretty steady job.
They didn't score a touchdown the week before that, Donnie.
Okay, so he's coming off two bad games. But his offense, it also does come down to execution to some degree. Like, yeah, the offense at some point has to punch it in when they're in the red zone. So it's not like they haven't been able to really move the ball, which I think speaks better for an OC, but they get down into the red area and they don't know what to do with themselves, which is kind of annoying, because all we heard this offseason, one of the pros for Russell Wilson was how good he was in the red zone last year.
Yeah.
And he has seemingly become the opposite. But all in all, I do not think that Smith has done a bad job.
Me neither. Me neither.
As the OC.
I just think red zone, third downs, and short yardage are problem areas, and all of a sudden, so is the AFC North. So while he's a clear upgrade on Canada, I can't go above B-, C+, but, you know, his big exams are coming up. Thank you, Donnie. You're a wonderful man, and we'll get back to a real Donnie Football Friday next Friday as we get ready for a very spicy Cleveland rematch.
Thank you, Joe. I'm looking forward to that.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline that Donnie was on. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Some very juicy matchups in the college and pro game with our local teams, with AFC North teams. There's a really good Sunday night, or I should say, I can't remember now, Sunday or Monday night. What is Bills 49ers? That's Sunday night?
Yes.
Really good Sunday night game we're going to pick. Why don't you and I do that next?
Okay.
And
I'm a Niners fan. You're a Bills fan, so we got something going there.
There we go. Plus, we have the Ravens are going to be involved in maybe the game of the week against the Eagles. All kinds of things to talk about as we wrap it up here on Pomp and Joe. Sean Myers did a wonderful job here today on Pomp and Joe without Pomp and a Donnie Football Friday without Donnie.
He made a cameo, at least.
He did. I shouldn't say without Donnie. I should say with a little taste of Donnie. He was a side dish, right?
Better than Dom's side dish.
I'll say. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Breezy cold with some snow today and a high of 32. Then this is, of course, What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly, we have some games to pick, all right? I pick these with Donnie and City Limits every week. Let me say what last week's records were. Donnie was 2-3. On the season, he's 23-31. He's struggling, although not as badly as me. I was 2-3 last week, and I'm 22-34. Hurt very badly by the Mike Tyson result, which was worth 3 points. Limits, who I think might be cheating, was 3-2 last week and is up to 500 at 28-28. All right. So this is a big week. Plenty of football left. Any one of us could win this thing. And you can be our celebrity picker. this week, Sean. Are you prepared for that?
It's an honor.
Let's start in the college ranks with the game. Michigan at Ohio State. Ohio State, a 19.5 point favorite. Donnie has picked Michigan. Who you got?
Ohio State wins for sure, but Michigan will keep it closer than that. So I'm going Michigan.
I'm not so sure about that, Sean. I think this is a year you may see a massive, massive blowout. 19's a lot. I mean, Michigan, they lost to Oregon, what was it, 38-17? They really haven't gotten...
They hung around with Indiana and then kind of let it slip away late.
Yeah, I think Indiana's overrated. Do you? Do you think Indiana belongs in the college football playoff?
If you're going by what the actual... how the season's played out, yes. Because they've lost only once and it was to Ohio State. That said, I don't think that they are one of the 12 best teams in the country. But you can't just put it in based on talent level or what you think a team might do.
Right.
So I would say they deserve to be in, but I think they will probably get blown out in the playoffs.
I'm going to go with Ohio State in this one. I think that this is going to be a celebratory day in Columbus for Ryan Day, a celebratory Ryan Day. He's gone a couple years now without beating Michigan. So even if you're beating everybody else, they get a little antsy around there when that's happening. All right. West Virginia, the Fighting Adam Crowleys, +3 at Texas Tech. Who you got?
Texas Tech. I was not impressed by WVU when I saw them early in the season. I think overall it's just been a very disappointing season for them.
I'm with you. I think the Texas Tech quarterback's pretty good, and I think he's going to shred a secondary that's allowed a lot of big plays. However, West Virginia, the Crowleys are hot. Neil Brown, again, is he doing enough to save his job again this season?
Always gets that backdoor cover with getting some late wins that gives him one more year. They're not as hot as the basketball team at WVU, though.
Man, did they play well the other night against Gonzaga. Wow, did they look good.
That helps Pitt a little bit, too, huh?
Yes, it does. Every time they win, it helps Pitt. All right, speaking of Pitt, Pitt at Boston College, BC is a 4.5-point favorite.
It would be an absolute disaster if it isn't already for Pitt to lose out. I have a feeling somehow they salvaged a little bit by winning this last game. Although, Outright. Obviously, it's trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I think that they will find a way to win this one, so at least you can have some positive going into the offseason. Because this would be, what, a 5-game skid if they lose?
Yeah. It would be 7-5. It would be an unmitigated disaster if it isn't already. Listen, BC's been a strange team. They just went to SMU. That's a very talented club. And it was a 3-point game with 5 minutes left.
That's closer than Pitt was against them.
I'll say. BC had a very competitive game against Louisville. I just think, I mean, this isn't exactly a genius take, but things are trending hard in the wrong direction for Pitt. And BC, they've had their problems, but they've also put up 116 points in the last three games. 116 in three games. I think they're going to win by double digits.
Is this called the Phil Jurkovic Bowl?
You just christened it as such.
Yeah, should be.
I might add that Donnie, as I said, picked Michigan to cover. He picked West Virginia to cover. And he picks Pitt, like you, to cover. I'm picking BC to cover in this game. Last college game is Maryland at Penn State. Penn State, a 24.5-point favorite. Donnie is picking Maryland to cover.
So I have two thoughts on this, and I'm still kind of split. Penn State either completely dominates and wins by 40-some, or they do what they've done more times than not this season, which is struggle in the first half, finally kind of pull away late third, early fourth quarter, but don't cover. I'm leaning that direction. So I think that Maryland will cover. I think Penn State will lead pretty much the entire way, but I could see it being maybe a 10 to 13-point game until about midway through the fourth quarter. And I don't think, you said it was 24?
24.5.
I don't think they get there. I think they'll end up winning like 20, 21 points, something like that.
I feel like it's also going to be a celebratory day at Beaver Stadium. I do. I feel like Penn State survived this past game. Franklin showing a lot of guts with the way he coached that game. So the survival part that every team faces during a college football season, and a lot of teams didn't survive last week, I might add. I think now you go home. I hear what you're saying. There's a possibility they could take a breath and say, all right, let's get to the playoff. I think the other way is that they ride a wave of momentum into this game and absolutely crush a horrific Maryland team, the Fighting Sean Gentiles. The high point of their season was they had a 3-0 lead in the Oregon game. That was about as good as it got for Maryland.
They're having a pit-like downward spiral to end their season, right?
They're horrifying, and I think that Penn State is going to destroy them. I think Penn State puts it all together for a day and goes rolling into the playoff. All right, let's get to the pros, shall we? The Fan, what should I say here? The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's go with Philly at Baltimore. Ravens are a 3-point favorite at home. Donnie has the Eagles beating that spread.
I have the Ravens, and Saquon, one of my favorite players ever, has been unbelievable. He's been somehow a little bit better than Derrick Henry. This is going to be a great matchup for those running backs alone, but I think the Ravens win this one. I'm a little surprised that the Eagles have been this good this season. I did not expect them to be this dominant. I think they kind of have a little speed bump this week, so I'm taking the Ravens.
Man, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. But I think the untold story, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, is that the Ravens are starting to play a little defense here. I'm with Mike Tomlin. I was with him before that game when he said the numbers are deceiving. And I think the problem was scheme. And I think old Dean Pease coming in there and helping advise their new defensive coordinator has been helpful. It's a lot of the same guys, Patrick Queen notwithstanding, from last year. So I think that Baltimore playing better defensively and with Lamar at the top of his game against virtually everybody but the Steelers, I think they cover in this game.
Seth Davis back here in his Eagles hat is devastated to hear this right now.
I'm sorry about that. I think that they might hammer the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm with you. I definitely think they win by more than 3.
Your Cleve Brownies coming off a big game can do the Steelers. Well, not necessarily the Steelers. I shouldn't say that. Can do the Bengals a giant favor by beating the Denver Broncos. Because I think it's if the Bengals win this game and then string a few together, that game where Denver goes to Cincinnati will be gigantic, I think, for the last wild card spot. So Cleveland is plus 5.5 at Denver. Donnie takes Cleveland. At least to cover.
I'm honestly shocked that Denver has been this good and
Me
that
too.
Bo Nix has been this good.
Me too.
That said, at some point, I think he runs into that rookie wall. We've seen Daniels have it happen to him recently with the Commanders. I do think it's going to happen, but I don't trust Cleveland to be the team that finally slows him down and slows down Denver. So I'm going Broncos.
Cleveland stinks. And I'm going Broncos too here. I think that was a game that they were really up. I've never seen Myles Garrett that animated on the sidelines before. That guy was, can you imagine if he was that animated like that all the time? And I'm not saying he's not a great player. He is. But that was just a different guy. He was just.
Yeah, he
as
going
motivated,
against Watt, I
yes,
think, as provided I've, something that we haven't seen from him much, if ever.
As I've ever seen. He was the best player on that field. I don't know that him or that team is going to be all that interested in this one. Plus, they're not very good. I'll take Denver. San Francisco at Buffalo. Could be a big game for the Steelers, right? If they win and they're still in that talk for the number one seed. Bills are a 7-point favorite at home against the Niners. You're a big Niner fan. Why don't you give everybody an injury update? Who's playing, who's not?
Well, it's looking pretty ominous. Brock Purdy, very limited in practice this week. He missed last week. I would guess he's going to give it a go. I would imagine if he plays that he'll still be a serviceable quarterback at the very least, but they have plenty of other injury issues. Fred Warner's playing through a serious ankle injury.
Just a broken fibula. Is that what he's playing, or a broken ankle?
And I was wondering, he hadn't really shown up much the last couple weeks. That kind of explains it. Bosa, wow. Trent Williams probably are not going to play in this game. They need to start winning if they're going to make the playoffs. Their only hope's in that division. I don't think it happens this week. So I think San Francisco loses. Is it Buffalo by 7?
Yeah.
I'm actually picking the Bills.
So am I. I think they're going to smoke them like a salmon. And they're going to be celebrating in Buffalo like Mulsey at a craft beer house, like Crowley at a West Virginia game, like Pony at the Carrier Dome. It's going to be a big day, I think, for the Bills. The Niners, as you know, just a shell of themselves. And sometimes years like this happen. Maybe they get healthy and make a late run. And then because they're so wildly talented, they'll be dangerous. Steelers, Bengals. Steelers plus 3 at Cincy. Donnie has the Steelers. I'm going Bengals in this game. I am. It's their Super Bowl. They're going to be as motivated or more than the Browns were last week. I mean, this is it for them. And they still have a very powerful offense. They do. And I'm not sure that the Steelers, with the way they've introduced themselves to the AFC North this year, are going to be able to match them offensively. If the Steelers can keep it low scoring, God bless them, I think they'll win the game. I don't think that happens this week, and I don't think old Artie has right now the stuff to match Joe Burrow. I think the Steelers fall short here.
Bengals by 4.
So Bengals cover.
Yes, sir.
I think Bengals 30, Steelers 22. You like that pick?
34-30 Cincinnati.
Sean, it's been a wonderful day. You're a wonderful man. Happy
you are
day
as well,
after
Joe.
Thanksgiving.
God bless you.
See ya.